Hey everyone, this is our Midweek Leadership Podcast. We believe that as you listen to it, it is going to move your life forward. So get ready for an amazing message.
I love it. Well, hello everyone. Happy Thursday. Pastors Ben and Jess, thank you for the opportunity and just the honor to just be able to share this morning. I was praying about what I was going to share, and it came pretty quickly because this is what God is walking me through. So welcome to my prayer closet, because I was like, okay. It's always good, you know, when whoever is talking to you isn't like preaching at you, but they get to like walk with you, you know, like, oh, that's same. That's just same solidarity. So come with me to Galatians 6, starting in chapter 6, verse 4. Mm-hmm. Third time's the charm. Chapter 6, verse 4. There we go. Chapter 6, verse 4. My brain's working faster than my mouth is. It says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. We'll just pause there for a moment. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Pay careful attention to your own work. This is how I read scripture, with more like emphasis in different spaces. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and then you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. You won't need to compare yourself to anyone else because you are already paying attention to your own work and you already have the satisfaction of a job well done, so you don't produce a need in yourself to look around and compare to somebody else. As soon as I was reading this, I thought about, if you've ever been to the horse races, I've only been once. It was terrifying, and I was a gambler at the races with a one dime. I did win, so just so you know, I won 20 cents back. Yes, I was like 7, so y'all talk to my parents. They shouldn't have been helping me gamble, but anyway, I did win, and so not a huge return, but I never went back to the races, probably because I only reaped 20 cents out of it, but anyway, that's irrelevant. When you go to the races, you see these things on the horses, right? They're called blinders. And when I was thinking about these blinders on the horses, I was like, oh yeah, of course, everybody knows that you keep blinders on horses so they don't get spooked by the ones next to them, right? Like, that's the reason they keep them on. Well, I went and looked this up again. Good old Google helped me with this. The blinders actually serve two purposes. They keep the distractions out, but they also keep them focused on where they're going and where they're moving to. So it actually serves two purposes. That the blinders are keeping the horses from being spooked. They're keeping them from looking to the right and to the left and being distracted from what their purpose is, but they also help them to keep their vision straight on where they're headed, on the line that they're headed to. And so again, as I was thinking about this, I felt like God just told this to me, like clear as day. You need to keep your head on a swivel, but not on the one you think. Like when you think you keep your head on a swivel, you're like robot-like, you know, like this way. God told me, keep your head on a vertical swivel. I need you to look up, then I need you to look straight ahead. And then when you keep forgetting where you're headed, I need you to look down because I need you to look inside here. And then I need you to look back up on where you know you're headed. And then I need you to look back up and access heaven. He doesn't want our head on a right and left swivel. Because what happens, we are human, and I'm going to sell myself out here, right? When I take those blinders off and I put my head on the horizontal, normal, very natural swivel, what I get when I look over here is fear. What I get when I look over here is comparison. What I get when I look over here is dissatisfaction. What I get when I look over here is discontentment, right? Pay attention to your own work. Pay attention to your own work. Put your head on a vertical swivel. Look up. Access it from heaven. Look straight ahead. And you have to know, too, though, at this point, what you're looking at, right? Like, because sometimes you can't focus on what you don't know, like, what to look at. And I was just thinking about when I go to the eye doctor, too. Like, they always ask me, like, what letters can you see? I'm like, literally none. Like, not none at all. They're like, what's the largest? I'm like, zero. I can't see any of them, okay? Like, just give me the prescription. This is terrible. Stop asking me these questions. It's a waste of time, and it's detrimental to my health. But when you figure out, and here's the deal. Also, when my head is on a swivel to the left and to the right and to the left and to the right, I really lose sight of what I actually already know. Like, the thing that I already am content with, the thing that I am certain of, when I'm looking to the left and to the right, I start to get a little less certain. I start to get a little less content. I start to wander a little more. It gets a little blurrier, right? I know the E is an E, okay? Like, even though my eyeballs are blurry when I'm looking at the thing at the doctor's office, I know the thing is an E, right? Like, I already know that. And so, but when I'm looking around, I'm like, well, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I called to do? Who am I? What's my calling? What's my this? What's my that? And I start asking tons of questions when I know God's called me to make disciples, period. He's called me to make disciples, period. And so many times, again, I'm not preaching at anyone. I'm just letting you in my prayer closet. So many times, I waste so much time. God, what am I supposed to do? What's the right thing to do? How am I supposed to do this? Blah, 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 blah. Am I supposed to have this job or that? I'm not asking that, but like, you know, like that. Those are the things we ask. Am I supposed to have this job or do it this way and this color at this pace and this thing and this? And he's like, I asked you to make disciples. I asked you to make disciples. So then I'm up here. Okay, God, tell me again. Remind me again. Pay attention to your own work. Pay attention to your own work. And I feel like some of us, sometimes we're like, well, I need to like do this podcast, or I need to do this thing, or I need to like make my own name known, or I need to like do that, you know, like insert here, because what's happening here is we've developed a need. We've cultivated in ourselves a need to compare ourselves to something else. But when you pay a careful attention to your own work and you put those blinders on in that horse race, right? It's keeping out distractions, but it's keeping you focused on where you're going to. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. I don't need somebody over here to tell me I'm doing a good job. I've got the satisfaction. My eyes are set ahead. I've got focus on my own work. I'm paying attention to my own work. I don't need somebody to give me accolades. I don't need somebody to put me on a platform. I don't need somebody to put a spotlight on my name. I'm paying attention to my own work. You want to talk about that? That's fine. You can talk about that on your own. I'm confident. I know where I'm going. I know who I am. I know what I'm called to. I know what I'm putting my hands to. Pay careful attention to your own work. I was like, ooh, Lord, you put my head on a swivel. And I thought I was a mannequin, and I am not, apparently. Okay, I got this vertical swivel. And as I was praying about this, I was reminded again, Luke 17:33. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm an Enneagram 3. It's a great life. It's really awesome. If you don't know anything about the Enneagram, it's this personality test, and it really reads your mail. It makes you feel less weird, and it also confirms all your weirdness. I don't know. It's very odd. But Enneagram 3s, we are achievers. We will do anything to achieve, to get a job well done, right? We morph to the room. We ask the room, what do you need from me? And then we like become, Carissa calls me the chameleon sometimes. She's like, what? And I'm like, I know. If it's a room of boys who are skateboarding, sometimes I'm like, I can skateboard. This is awesome. Yeah, I'm chill. I can skateboard. If it's a room of girls, sisterhood, I'm like, yes, I wear heels all the time. This is amazing. Like, I don't know. I just try to figure out what the room needs, and then I show up to that. But with the achieving part, this is my personality, but with the achieving piece of this, what ends up happening is I spend a lot of mental energy wondering how I can do a job well done. I spend a lot of mental energy. How am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to do it? Am I supposed to be over here? Am I supposed to be over here? Am I supposed to be over here? How do I take care of this? How do I hold this up by myself? How do I like work on this? How do I, and some of those things are good. I'm not saying like, please grow, like please desire to be better every day. That's what you should do as well. But what I'm saying is all this mental energy that I personally spend, maybe you don't do this, but that I personally spend on trying to figure out how to do a job well done. When, like, I'm over here trying to save my own life, and all I got to do is lose it. Wow. All I got to do is lose it. All I got to do is put my blinders on and lose it. Is it going to cost me something? Yes. Is it going to make people talk about some things? Yes. Is it going to make some people question what I'm doing? Yes. But if you read the rest of the scripture, it's pretty simple. It is pretty simple. There's many methods, okay? And I'm not here to say there is one right method, per se. But I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm called to. I know who I am. If you don't know that yet, let's talk about it. Because you can't put the blinders on yet until you know that you're looking at an E, even though it looks blurry, because you don't have good eyes, right? Like, you're looking at the E. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. My head's on a swivel, right? But pay attention to your own work. I felt like God told me this, too. I was like, oh, Lord, you're just taking me to church right now, but I guess. But pay attention to your own work. It's not pay attention to your own influence. It's not pay attention to your own goodness. It's not pay attention to your own self. It's not pay attention to your own righteousness. It's not pay attention any of those things. Pay attention and put your hands on something. Get to work. So many times, sorry, I feel like I'm getting passionate here, but like so many times, this, man, I feel like we get so disgruntled. Because we're like, God, why is my life not good? God, why is it not this? And why is it not that? And I've been praying, and I've been doing this thing, and I've been wondering. But I've also been sitting in my bed every day. And I've also let these thought processes just run wild and free, and they've just been able to do anything they want to do. And I've also been sitting here just saying, like, you know what? My emotions, I got to write to those. Put your hands to something. Pay attention to your own work. Not pay attention to your own emotion. Not pay attention to your own righteousness. Not pay attention to your own doing better. Not pay attention to your own promotion. Not pay attention to your own insert here, whatever the thing is that we want to put the label on. Pay attention to your own work. And I will tell you that every time that I have put my hands to work, even though I haven't felt it, known it, had clarity about it, been certain about it, or whatever, there are things that God does not reveal until you put your hand to the plow. There are things you don't know that are under the dirt until you put your hands to the plow. There are things that you don't stir up until you put your hands to the plow. And man, whoo, yeah, whoo, the Lord been teaching me. In verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." We can't reap anything that we didn't sow. You don't reap a harvest of something you don't put your hands to, right? You might like benefit because your neighbor is a farmer and you woke up and they were generous enough to give you some corn, right? But I've never been a farmer, and I'm thankful. I don't think I would be very good at it. No one would have any good crops. I would try really hard. Marissa, thank you so much. That's why I don't have plants at my house, because they all just die. Like, I don't even have dreams of that anymore. Luke's like, let's put some live plants in our house. It'd like make our, I'm like, no. Literally, no. Like, they're just gonna die, and then what I'm gonna have to do? Take care of that. Like, I'm not doing that. Anyway, that's random. But I was just thinking about this. You know, from what I've heard, and anyone, Pastor Ben grew up on a farm, but anyone else who has grown up on a farm, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But from what I understand, in farming, man, it is desperately hard work. And you reap a harvest because of your work. Right? Like, you don't plant one corn seed. Yeah, corn grows out of the ground. Thank you. Yes. Okay. You don't plant one corn seed, right? And then hope to produce a whole field of corn. Like, they're out there tilling the soil. They're out there putting the seeds where they need to grow. They're out there watering that. They're out there looking at the weather forecast to figure out what they're going to do to make sure that their plants don't all die in the, I don't know if you have tornadoes where farms happen, but, you know, like, there's farms in Oklahoma, so yes. You know, like, it's all work. It's all work. And so when harvest time comes around, you only get to, like, pick up all those bushels of corn because you worked beforehand. It's not because it just happened one day. And it's not because you stood out there and looked at your neighbor and watched them work and then said, like, hey, now give me your corn. Right? Like, you will only reap what you sow. A man reaps what he sows. So whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I hope I'm communicating this well, because there's this way that it's in my mind. There's this way that it's in my mind because, again, I get so distracted sometimes on the how-to and the know-how and the what-to and the all these things, and especially when it comes to calling, and especially when it comes to what you already know is certainly your purpose. It is not that complicated. It's hard to do, but it's not that complicated. We're supposed to make disciples. Whatever title you carry in doing that, whatever effort you carry in doing that is unique to you. But we're all called to make disciples, period. If you ever wonder if that's still the thing, it's still the thing, right? You know, and so sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to figure out, like, how to make this dream come to life and how to make, and there's nothing wrong with dreams and making your dream come to life. It's not that. But if I get distracted and I take my blinders off, I'm like, well, what about this person? They've got, like, dreams over here, and, like, dreams are being fulfilled, and then I've got this over here, and, like, now I'm discontent because of this, and then I've got fear over here because, like, I'm watching this person on Instagram, and I don't know if I could ever write a song like that, or I don't know if I could ever lead like that, or I don't know if I could ever talk like that, or I don't know if I could ever do like that, or I don't know, you know, and then you're 25 minutes down the scroll line, and you're like, oh, my Lord. I'm a peasant. Like, you know, like, it's just terrible. It's just terrible, you know. But I just feel like, verse 8 simplifies this so much. Whoever sows to please their flesh is going to reap destruction of their flesh. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So sow to please the Spirit. How do you please the Spirit? You say yes to what God has called you to do. You put your hands to the plow. You make disciples. You stay in it when you just don't know. You look up towards heaven because you've been looking here. Looking here is not even a bad place. Looking at your calling is not even a bad place, but I haven't looked up here in a minute, right? All right, I gotta go back and access my source, and then I'm coming back here. Oh, what? All right, put the blinders back on. And then we're going to see at the end of this race, man, I stayed focused. I'm not perfect. I was not perfect, right? Like, I wasn't perfect in what I did or how I said it or whatever, but you're dang straight. I stayed in the game. I stayed in the game. I stayed in the race. Put my blinders back on. And get people who are going to help you be a jockey for you. Yeah. Right? Get people in your life who are going to help you put the blinders back on, because last I checked, the horses also don't have opposable thumbs, so they can't put their blinders back on, okay? Right? Like, they're going to need a jockey, okay? I don't know a lot about horses, but I'm presuming like I am, and I really don't. I'm not a horse girl. I don't know. It's so factual. It's too literal. But get somebody in your life, too, who is going to help you put those blinders back on. Remind you where you're supposed to be looking. Put your blinders back on. Put your hand to the plow. Get yourself back out there, and you've got this. And you've got this. So to please the Spirit, pay attention to your own work, and then you won't produce a need in yourself, because you're paying attention to your own work. You're not producing a need. You've already satisfied that need, because you're just here, right? I didn't produce a need. I'm just here. I'm just focused. I'm good to go. God, would you just help us to look towards heaven God, would you give us a fresh revelation, a fresh identity, a fresh word from you, God? I pray that you would open ears and hearts and minds, Father, that you would remind callings, that you would remind of who you are, God, and who we are in you. God, I pray that you would speak with such clarity that we could hear you, Father, but that we would also have our eyes open, that we would be in a position to hear from you, Father. That we wouldn't miss when you're speaking, God. That we would actually have the energy to reap what we sow. God, that we would want to put our hands back to the plow, Father, because it pleases you, not because of any other purpose. And Lord, we just love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.